Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you all this morning, and I hope you enjoyed the singing of the 23rd Psalm. We're excited to start this series that's going to go for about 3 weeks on the 23rd Psalm, and we're going to each week look at two verses of this very well-loved passage out of Scripture. And because it is so well-known, my guess is that many of you memorized it as a child. We've decided to do the scripture presentation different each week to help refresh it for us. So as we sang it this week, we'll do it different in the next 2 weeks. So I hope you'll find these scripture presentations helpful, that a passage we know so well to look at a little differently. The arrangement that you just sang actually comes from my seminary. The president of Asbury Theological Seminary, his wife is very musical, and while I was there, she took all 150 psalms and put them to meter. And then they gifted it to all of us that were students at the time. And it's one of my most prized possessions from my time at the school. And we've actually used it a couple times since I've been here. So I hope that it's something that you found enjoyable, because we, the whole semester, sang all 150 psalms in chapel that year. I found it very moving, so I hope you did as well. Before we begin, I wanted to share something exciting with you. This past week, I was invited to join a whole bunch of other pastors at the seventh group for a religious symposium that the chaplains held. Fitting that on the cusp of Veterans Day, we would do such a thing. And the topic was how we as churches in the faith community can better equip the families, the military families that we live among, how we can care for the soul. And you might hear a couple references in the message today, because as I looked at the 23rd Psalm, it made me think a lot about that symposium. A psalm that is used for the assurance in our darkest of days. And when we don't know where we're going, we find so much comfort in these words of David. And so I found the two to be very well connected. And it was exciting to talk with others in the community about how we are going to equip moving forward these men and women and their families that do so much for us. And that's what this weekend is all about as well. So would you join me in prayer as we look into this passage this morning? Almighty God, we want to thank you for these words of David as he reflects on you. We ask this morning that you speak to us and you help us to remember what it means for you to be our shepherd. Guide us and strengthen us and help draw us closer to you through these words. I ask that you bring us to a new understanding in words that are so familiar. We pray these things to your glory. Amen. So the 23rd Psalm uses this analogy of God as shepherd, but it's not unique in that. Throughout much of the Old Testament, God is referred to as the shepherd of Israel. But what is unique is that David calls God his shepherd. When he says there in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. This is the only time in the Old Testament you see someone calling out in this way, in a very personal relationship to God, as my shepherd. So when we read this, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Our traditional understanding, I think almost every one of us memorized it in the King James, right? I have all that I want. I have all that I need. There's nothing that I lack. The Lord is my shepherd. David is talking about his personal relationship with the shepherd of Israel. And David, as king, was actually called to be what they call the under-shepherd. He was called to shepherd God's people for the great shepherd. And David, of all people, understood being a shepherd, did he not? As a shepherd himself, he knew what this meant. And as he thought about being the shepherd, he thought what God did for him. And David wasn't perfect, but his shepherd was. He had this connection with God that was personal. It was like he could almost see into the future to when the good shepherd was coming. The shepherd that was going to come from David's line. The promise. When Jesus did come, he spoke of himself as the shepherd. If we look into Matthew, chapter 8. I'm going to start one verse before what's in the slide before you. Jesus traveled throughout all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. See, Jesus was taking care of the sheep before him, as a good shepherd would. But when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Teaching and healing wasn't enough. He knew that these people before him were wandering without the shepherd they needed. That's why we call him the Good Shepherd. Because he saw each and every person for who they were and knew that they needed direction from him. That's why we love the teachings of Jesus so much, is it not? Because he connects with people in a way that nobody else has. And he looks out at needs in a way that no one else has. And his teachings still do that for us today. The traits of a shepherd are caring for the needs of his sheep. He looks after them, he feeds them, he protects them. He knows them. He knows them in a way that no one else does. And we can say that about God for all of those traits. And uniquely enough, God knows us before we even recognize what's going on. He knows our anxiety too. It said in that verse 1, he knows all that we need. God knows when we feel anxious and upset about things so that we can call out to him for help. And many times we don't want to claim that sometimes we feel anxious or worried, because that means we're not trusting God. But it's okay, because God says you can tell me that you're anxious and worried. When I was in school, when I was younger, school was always difficult for me. I love information and I love to learn, but school was hard. And some of you probably already know this, but some of you don't, so I'm going to tell the story again. But school was very difficult for me, and when I became a freshman in college, I was diagnosed with dyslexia, which explained why I struggled so much when I was younger. But now I was in college and I had to relearn how to do school being dyslexic. And I'm a perfectionist, so I wanted to always do my very best. And so it was very stressful for me, because just because I knew school was hard didn't give me an excuse not to do my best in school. So I would work really, really hard and get myself very anxious, especially at finals. And every semester, I would go to sleep finals week on Monday, and I would dream that I slept through finals and it was Friday. Some of you are nodding. You've done this, haven't you? Okay. So I would miss every test and miss every assignment, and all the hard work I had done all semester was wasted. And usually at 2 o'clock in the morning, I would wake up spastic. And after I got married, I'd smack AJ in the middle of the night. And then how he's spastic because he just got smacked. And then I'd realize it was Monday and I'd try to go back to sleep. And because of the way I was raised to know that when something was heavy on me that I needed to give it to God, I would go back to sleep praying this verse. I would pray Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything, instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Now, because it was 2 a.m., I would repeat to myself, worry about nothing, pray about everything. Worry about nothing, pray about everything, over and over until I went back to sleep. And usually the dream was only on Monday, and I didn't dream it the rest of the week. And as I got into seminary, it got better. My worries about forgetting got better. And God started giving me more of a peace. But see, many times we know this verse, but we forget verse 7, which says this: then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus Christ. This verse is one of so many in Scripture that promises that our good shepherd, God, is looking after us. And when we trust him, he gives us the peace of Christ. When we give him our worries, he looks after us. He knows our emotions and our anxieties and our stresses, and he wants to take care of us. He wants to take care of our needs. But many times, we don't give them over. Now, I'm glad that I did, because I got more sleep. And AJ got more sleep. and I survived school. But sometimes we try too hard to hold those things to ourselves because we don't want to admit that we're not trusting God. But he already knows, does he not? So there's a third piece of this first two verses that are important, and that is that God brings rest to us. Because he knows our worries, he wants to bring us rest so that we don't worry and we feel his comfort and his peace. Look at verse 2. He lets me rest in green meadows, and he leads me beside peaceful streams. It's hard in our day and age to get rest. There's so much going on. You turn on the news and there's so much things going on in our world that makes it hard to just be still. We've got technology and cell phones and everything coming at us. We don't want to turn our cell phones off because, you know, someone might need us. Everywhere we go, there's information being thrown every direction. We can't go to the grocery store without more information coming at us. It's hard to be still. But God wants to give us rest. But the thing to remember is rest doesn't always come without sometimes a little bit of effort. I don't know how many of you have been anywhere around the Holy Land. I've not had the pleasure, but I have been to Turkey and Morocco. Similar landscapes. And when I was in Morocco, we were driving down the road, and it's very desert-like. And all of a sudden, we were driving in the desert, and we saw this beautiful green space in the middle of nowhere. This is a picture that I took outside my bus. And there was nothing but sand, and then all of a sudden, this. Now, there was a stream in the middle. And for David, who was a shepherd in this part of the world, he had to go find the green spaces. He had to find the green pastures. They weren't just out his back door like ours. He had to take his sheep across rocky ground and mountains to get to the good places with calm waters and green land. But when he got there, his sheep were safe and comfortable and had everything they needed. They had rest. Sometimes we have to be willing to go through what may not look like good places to get to where God's trying to get us to go. And you know what that takes? Trust. We have to trust God. Now, I know you're probably thinking, well, of course I trust God. But sometimes without realizing it, we don't always trust God with everything because in our life here on earth with people, things have caused us not to trust fully. Without realizing it, we have interactions in our entire life that make us slow to trust. Starting with children. When we're young, things happen that make us realize that sometimes people don't always do what they're going to say they're going to do. You know, a little child may say, can I go to the park today? And mommy may say, yes, we can go to the park. And the end of the day comes and you don't go. And after that happens many times, that child has learned that yes doesn't always mean yes. As we get older, we may ask somebody for help and they say they help us. And now they haven't done what they said. And we learn that we don't always get to trust when people say they do something. Or maybe someone's broken our confidence or hurt us. When things happen in life, our trust, it gets harder and harder to give. We don't realize it, but we start to keep people at arm's distance. And if we're not careful, when we start keeping others at arm's distance, we start to keep God at arm's distance too. And if we can't trust him to carry us forward, if we can't trust him to take us over the rocky path to get to the good pastures, then we'll never get to where God wants us to go. If we can't trust to build relationships within the church to work on our spiritual life, then we can't get to the places God wants us to go. But it's hard with people. The church would be great if, except for the people, right? I saw that online one time. But the truth is the people is the reason we have the church, is it not? Because the church is not this room. It's you. And we're all just trying to get closer to God. And we do it at our own pace. But some of us need a little more work to trust than others. One of the things they said at the symposium is that every person has a spiritual life. Whether they know it or not, they all have a spiritual self. And then a phrase that I've heard for many years in military life is, there's no atheist in a foxhole. When you're facing a dark day, everyone has some type of spirituality. And we all have a spiritual self, even if our spiritual self is to say that I don't believe in anything else. That's still a part of our spiritual self. Now, we as Christians believe that our spiritual self is to connect us with God, right? That our purpose in life is to bring ourselves closer to God and help other people see the joy in that, the God who brings us peace. But we have to trust him to do it. And the thing about trust is it only happens when we give it to someone else. People can't take our trust. We can only give it. And it goes the same with God. We can only give God our trust. He can earn it just as others can, but we are the only ones who can give it. Trusting God is one of our big ideas for Psalm 23. How do we continue to trust God better? The good shepherd of all. The one who would leave everyone just for us. The one who sacrificed himself for us. The one who came down from heaven to earth for us. How do we trust him deeper and with everything? It's quite a heavy concept in some ways. But his intention is to help us with everything, to make sure we don't have a need, to make sure that our anxieties are covered. When we worry and we have anxieties, that we can turn them over. The King James says, I want nothing. I liked the translation I read this morning. I have all that I need. We have lots of wants, don't we? But God says, I make sure you have everything you need. So I hope you'll spend that time with us to think about how can we trust God in a deeper way. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, I want to thank you for being our shepherd. And this morning, Lord, I say to you that I have not always trusted you as I should. I don't always walk in the path that you guide me along. Help me to do that more effectively. Help me to give you more of myself. And help me to draw closer to my brothers and sisters in the church. Show us, Lord, what our next path is and help us get to the green pastures so that we can rest as you want us to rest. As we continue talking about Psalm 23 in the next weeks, Lord, we ask you continue to deepen us in this concept of you as our shepherd so that we can continue to be your people in our community. We pray these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Amen.